Brooklyn's Radio. Loving arts and entertainment.
Brooklyn's Radio Playhouse brings you a play from Upstage Surrey. And by the way, Upstage Surrey ask us to get some feedback regarding these regular offerings. Could you email any feedback to Upstage Theatre Company, figure 4, at gmail.com? That's Upstage Theatre Company, the figure 4, at gmail.com. And they do work hard, and all the feedback, good and otherwise, would be appreciated by this non-membership-funded local drama group. So tell them what you like, what you don't like, and what you'd like to hear more of.
Upstage Surrey presents The Toothful Out, a short story written and read by Lisa Mills. As Angela entered the Stark waiting room, she could hear the high-pitched whiz of the drill through the surgery door. No one was screaming, so she figured things were probably going okay. A strong smell of cheap aftershave filled the air. There was only one other person waiting in there, a man about her age reading a copy of the Angling Times. He looked up briefly and said, "Hello." Angela said, "Hello," back while she hastily picked up a copy of Gardener's World and sat down in the chair opposite. She didn't know why she picked up Gardener's World. She hated gardening. She had chosen to buy a first-floor flat to avoid it. She opened the magazine from the back and started to flick through the pages towards the front. She always read magazines like that. It was a hangover from her early teenage years, where she'd been desperate to know about boys and bodies and sex. The Agony Aunt's column was always on the last page, and she would consume it voraciously, reading some bits twice, trying to understand, trying so hard to grow up. She'd grown up now, all right. Her own successful business, flat and car. She was manicured, pedicured, and designed from top to toe. She hated the dentist. It was so personal. She felt someone watching her. She looked up from the magazine and just caught the tail end of the man's gaze before he looked down quickly. As she returned to an article about successional sewing, whatever that was, she felt him looking at her again. This time she returned the look, frostily. "I'm sorry," he said gently, "but don't I know you?" Angela searched his face. He had small, pale blue eyes behind gold-rimmed glasses, thinning sandy hair which was narrowly avoiding a comb-over job, a long nose and thin mouth. She cast her eyes over his navy blue zipped cardigan, black chinos and brown suede shoes. On the seat next to him was a cycling helmet on top of a neatly folded weatherproof jacket. She couldn't imagine where on earth their paths could have crossed. "You're Angela, aren't you? Angela Phillips? We were at Bankside School together. Must have been, 1980, 81. I knew you as soon as you walked in." He looked at her almost pleadingly, willing her to remember him. He was obviously expecting some kind of positive response. Angela tried to think back all those years. She'd hated that school, and especially the girls in the class. They'd bullied her and made her life unbearable. She'd fallen behind in class because she spent the lessons worrying about the break times and that terrifying bus journey home. All those sleepless nights, crying, begging her dad not to make her go back. She had trained herself not to remember. Obviously, she'd done a brilliant job, but she didn't know this bloke from Adam. "Oh, right, Bankside. Yes, of course, sir. How are you? She couldn't remember his name, if she'd ever known it. She looked up at the clock on the wall, nearly time for her appointment. It was the first time she could remember willing the nurse to call her in to the dentist. "Well, I'm doing all right, thanks. Angela?" He emphasised her name in a jokey tone, as if he were carrying out a dare in saying it. He put down the Angling Times and shifted forward slightly in his chair. He was obviously warming up for a tete-a-tete. Angela's heart sank. "I gave up the idea of the army. Well, to be honest, it gave me up. Didn't get through the medical." Angela offered up a prayer that he wouldn't go into detail why he didn't. "Well," I thought, "well, would you believe it? My life's ambition destroyed by such a seemingly insignificant thing." "So what did you do instead?" Angela asked hastily. "You'll never guess," he replied. heading off cheerfully down the diversion she created. "No, I probably won't," Angela snapped, smiling stiffly. "I'm a paramedic. And do you know what, Angela? Do you know what gave me the idea?" At this point, he leaned so far forwards towards her, she expected him to end up face down under the magazine table. She shook her head. "I haven't the faintest idea." "You did." "I beg your pardon." Angela was beginning to suspect this guy was one sandwich short of a picnic. "Don't tell me you don't remember. The 249 bus stop, last day of the spring term." Angela offered no response. "The pigeon," he said triumphantly. Those words triggered a vivid memory which sprang out at her from the past. She was 13 again and waiting for the bus. A gang of 7 or 8 girls from her class were huddled in a group, looking at her and whispering excitedly to each other. The bus arrived and they told her to get on first. She thought it was strange, but rather than argue, she did as she was told. Halfway up the steps of the bus, she reached into her school bag for her fare. As she did so, her hand touched something strange. It felt soft and wobbly, and her fingers sank into something cold and slimy. She pulled her hand away in shock and, to her horror, found that it was covered in blood. She opened the bag and looked inside. There was the mangled corpse of a pigeon. It had started to rot, and the stench hit her full in the nostrils. She felt sick and giddy and rushed back down the steps. The girls started to scream with laughter as they boarded the bus, pushing her out of the way, shouting abuse at her, congratulating each other on the success of their prank. She started to heave, and then the world swirled around her head, and everything went blank. The next thing she could remember was seeing a boy's face topped with a cloud of curly ginger hair. He was bending over her and wiping her face gently with a cloth of some sort. Although it was December, he was bare to the waist, and Angela realised he'd rolled up his jacket and put it under her head. The cloth he was wiping her clean with was his shirt. His voice was soft and calming, and he told her he'd sent for help, and she wasn't to worry. His name was Martin Beasley, and he was the loner of the class. Quiet and studious, his sleeves and his trousers were always just too short. His pudgy face was usually smeared with something unspeakable, a boy considered too insignificant to bully. She often used to catch him staring across at her across the classroom. Frankly, he used to give her the creeps. "You're Martin," Angela exclaimed. "The very same," he chuckled delightedly. "Kind of you to remember." "No, Martin," Angela said. "You're the kind one." The nurse entered the waiting room. "Mr. Beasley," she asked. "That's me," he said as he followed her through to the door. "Good to see you again, Angela. You haven't changed a bit." "No," thought Angela. "Sadly, it seems I haven't." You have been listening to an Upstage production of The Tooth Will Out, a monologue written and performed by Lisa Mills, edited by Colin Hansford. Upstage Surrey, local entertainment by local people for local people.
I'm sorry, so sorry, that I was such a fool. I didn't know love could be so
Brooklyn's Radio. Loving arts and entertainment.